And on today's Windy City Queer Cast, we continue our show tune mania as we explore queer music with Andrea Bunch today from the Old Town School of Folk Music. But how better to do that for Stephen Rader and myself, but to sit ourselves right in the center of Sidetrack. We're actually in the new gorgeous bar, or the new gorgeous part of the bar at Sidetrack for show tunes. Oh, you know, it's like the perfect thing to do. Sunday, Monday, Thursday, all kinds of days when they show the show tunes at Sidetrack, and Stephen Rader and I are there having a little cocktail and singing along with Merman and Marilyn. And oh gosh, just I think our best was our Anne Margaret Bye Bye Birdie number. We really did that one quite well. And Richard Knight Jr. doing his review of Brad Renfro's very last film. Stephen and I talk about the sudden suicide of Carl Walker Hoover, the 11-year-old boy, and our response to that and how other people are covering that story. Plus, there's other things going on in the news this week to talk about, many turning points, and what's going on in the entertainment scene. There's so much. Ooh, what's the next song?
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Stephen Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
My time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. It's gonna have to be a different man.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 299. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Stephen Rader.
And we're hanging out at the Sidetrack. I wish you and I could do Victor Victoria. Victoria is on the television, and it's our song.
You and me. It's great. I love it. You would play Victoria Grant.
Of course.
I'd play Toddy.
Yes. Why not?
Do you know, when they were doing it here in town, who was doing it here in town.
She did it.
They were talking about the local production. I think it was at Marriott or something.
Oh, okay.
I forgot who wrote this. One of the reviewers wrote that Alexandra Billings is the only choice to play Victoria Grant.
Yes.
And Victoria. And they said, because then you'd have a woman pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman, played by a woman who used to be a man. And he said, the mind reels. I thought that's the most brilliant thing we could ever say.
Isn't that great? It's so nice to be here at Show Tune. I haven't been to Show Tune in a while.
I hadn't been here in a long time.
We're in their new bar, which is uber sexy. It feels like we're in a sauna, and I wish it was a little sauna-y. It would be nice. Not that it's that cold, it would be neat if you could, like, steam and cocktail.
simultaneously.
And you're having a, what are you having one of these?
I'm having
these
frozen-y things.
She's having a slushy.
I'm having a slushy slurpee because the cute boys were all having it by the women's bathroom. They're having a frat party.
It was like a big old gay frat party.
Totally like frat party. Hey, I want to say happy, it's in the past, but happy anniversary to Roscoe's, 25
years. Oh, yes.
Their big party, and we had a huge Windy City Gay Idol where we got some great people at Spin. What a bar that is.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, if people have not been to Chicago in a while and walked up and down Halstead and seen what has happened to some of the bars, because we may be in a recession, but the places for sex and alcohol are exploding.
Did you say the places for sex and alcohol?
Yes, because that's why you come to gay bar, fellowship, sex, and alcohol, right?
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know that Steamworks exploded, but I was...
Well,
there you are.
Yeah. But I've yet to do a gay idol event at Steamworks. I really want to.
Can you imagine?
They'd have to sing in towels, and where would we put their numbers? It would be so
I'll tell you where you put their numbers, all right. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh, my friend, Ben Sprunger, was doing this thing to raise money for About Face Theater, where he was going to compete in every event in April that you could win money at every bar in the city. And he's already won Hydrate's Easter Basket Contest. And next
Easter
one...
Easter Basket Contest? What is that exactly?
I don't know, but he won it. And then
he's so adorable.
Well, he's going to do the lube wrestling. He's doing, like, the shower contest. He's doing it all. But
jockstrap contest?
Jockstrap contest. He's doing everything that you can win money at.
Yum.
So he was supposed to come to Idol the other night and compete. And he was going to bring a ton of people, but he's in all the unions, and you can't be in a union and compete. And he found this out at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and had to call off all his people coming. But he's really getting a view.
Can't he be in it as far as like, you know, John Sprunger or something like that?
I don't know. He could have scabbed, but he knew. I didn't even think about it.
I'd scab him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
He's so super cute. Hey, on our show today, we're here at Show Tunes, and you know, our last show we went to see A Chorus Line, which we're still really reeling from. And it's great to be with Steven twice in 1 week before I head off to Tennessee. It gives me a little fluffer before I head to my Tennessee roots. The Hillbilly Riviera.
What do you call it?
The Redneck Riviera.
Yeah, Redneck Riviera, baby.
But today's show is all on queer music. And we're going to have Andrea Bunch on with the Old Town School of Folk Music because they're getting ready for their Alt-Q Festival.
Oh, I love that.
But they're also on May 1st having this big event where they're talking about queer artists and how... queer artists have kind of changed the stereotypes and the mentality of the face of music, and who are some of those artists? And, you know, we talk about them. Everybody from Prince, she mentions, to Annie Lennox that I mentioned, to, of course, the gay artists like Elton John, Melissa Etheridge, Katie Lang. And I really feel some place that puts the foothold in all of that is kind of the Broadway show tune genre. I think there's no genre that we lay claim to, even more than dance music. I think we lay claim to stage music and the cabaret world and the show.
I remember when I first moved here back in 04 of 1900. I opened up the Gay Chicago or something like that, and I was like, what's going on? And it said Show Tunes at Sidetrack. It was a Monday night. I moved here on a Saturday. So that was Monday. So I show up, and at the time it was a fifth of what it was now.
Tiny bar.
And I thought, oh, there's some drag queen at a piano singing show tunes. So this will be fun. I didn't know it was a video bar. I knew nothing. So I walk in, and the place is packed. And they're literally playing a version of their now famous Mommy Dearest montage that they do. And I started saying it along with Joe, you know, who wants to go swimming? You know, the whole thing. And realized, damn it, bring me the axe! See, the whole thing. And realized that I was mouthing it, waiting to get a drink, and everyone in the bar was either mouthing it or screaming it.
And
everyone.
You were like, these are my people.
I was like, I've come home.
Yeah.
It sounds funny, but I never met people who are exactly like me, and they all do the same things I did. You know, it's like being back home, I had three heads, and I came here and said the same things. They were like, yeah, mm-hmm. Big deal.
I mean, it's
amazing, this bar, amazing. I lived here for so long.
It's so true that, you know, our experience, I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, and Kelly and I were saying this because I really don't use the word fag or faggot anymore, but I used to always say, you know, I'm a bigger fag than I am a lesbian. And there's been so much bandying around about that word. Actually, Kelly and I were just talking about this the other night. And I said, well, I've always meant that with the most endearing of ways of that. I love to decorate. I love show tunes. I love theater. You know, I really feel like in a weird way, except for loving women and being a woman, that I'm a gay man. Like, I wanted to be a drag queen. I mean, like, my whole life has been. But I don't really think of myself as a drag queen. I truly think of myself more as a gay man. And so, anyhow, I just have such an affinity with
For the music, of the show music. Now they're playing Ragtime.
There you go. But I do feel like one of the first ahas for me was Annie Lennox. She defied gender. She defied style. She was kind of a front man, and the guy was kind of behind her. There was something very shocking about her, and haunting, and sexual, and asexual. And
well, hell, when we were coming up, what, I mean, we're talking about Boy George.
Yeah,
Annie Lennox. That.
Yeah.
We're talking about all these really.
Yeah, dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Even Duran Duran, who were all over my wall, kind of like pretty lesbians when you think about it.
They challenged every idea of what we could do or could look like.
Yeah.
I mean, Morrissey even. I mean, Morrissey singing about the boy that you're asking for the time, but that's not what you're asking for.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of wonderful music that, I remember I told people at high school I'd listen to the Smiths, it looked like I had five heads. They could not understand why I would listen to this music.
Alison Moyet of I mean, the voice that you couldn't even tell that she was female. So strong and so powerful. Grace Jones, in a way, with her kind of look. David Bowie, of course, we mentioned. So we're going to go into that a little more, but there's going to be a great conversation at the Old Town School of Folk Music all about this. So go and be a part of the conversation and the panel.
Will there be any show tunes? There better be show
tunes. I'm sure there will be. And also today, besides our news and telling you what's going on in the theater scene, theater shows are actually kind of picking up here right before the last hurrah.
Yeah.
A lot of shows starting up. We're going to be doing a movie review today. Richard Knight Jr. has a review of The Informers. This is a Bret Easton Ellis who did Less Than Zero. Set in the 80s. Hollywood. It's actually Brad Renfro's last film, and before he died, literally like 2 weeks after shooting this movie, and it was very similar to, you know, he died the week before Heath Ledger, weeks before Heath Ledger, a couple weeks before Heath Ledger. And then I knew Brad, and I've talked about that here on the show, so it's kind of his last film. He plays opposite Mickey Rourke, you know, people who are looking at him very differently. And the film has been on hold for quite a while, so that's usually not a great sign, but we'll see what Richard Knight Jr. has to say about The Informers.
Oh, there you are.
Definitely going to be interesting, I think, for our community. He was always pretty cutting edge about what was going on sexually and with the drug culture and everything in the 80s. And then Stephen and I will be back here at Show Tunes.
Drinking. The next time you hear us, we'll be really drunk.
We'll be really drunk. So stay tuned for that.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? TNT. Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning May 2nd. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics of the game, including forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT costs $115 and includes a 3-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago. TNT. It's dynamite.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Washington State has expanded same-sex domestic partner benefits thanks to a measure the legislature passed. The governor will sign the bill into law and said legislation will expand basic benefits, provide better financial security, and ensure equal treatment for domestic partners living in Washington State. We have to respect and protect all of the families that make up our communities. Senate Bill 5688 passed out of the state Senate by a vote of 30-18. A similar measure passed through the House 62-35.
New York City-based Gay Men's Health Crisis has issued its 2009 federal policy agenda, which includes development of a U.S. national AIDS strategy and lifting the FDA blood donation ban on men who have sex with men. GMHC would also like the FDA to test and possibly approve the drug Gardasil for boys and men to reduce the incidences of anal cancer. Gardasil is currently used primarily to prevent cervical cancer in young women.
Colorado Governor Bill Ritter has signed the Designated Beneficiary Agreement Act, which expands the rights of same-sex and unmarried couples by allowing individuals to legally identify a designated beneficiary who has many of the rights and privileges of a married spouse, including the right to inherit property.
Conservative personality Dr. Laura Schlesinger gave a vague recommendation for same-sex relationships. Schlesinger was on Larry King Live to promote her newest book, In Praise of Stay-at-Home Moms. When asked about same-sex marriage, she said, "I still believe, as just every president has and all the people who ran for office, that marriage is a sacrament between a man and a woman. So not calling it marriage works for me. But that two people would have that sort of commitment to me is very healthy and very positive thing in their lives and society as a whole."
The Kansas City Police Department has cut off health insurance coverage for the domestic partners of department members to help deal with a $15 million budget gap. Although the development reportedly affects only one gay person out of eight department members, GLBT rights leaders are protesting the cut.
And in world news, in Spain, a man has been fatally stabbed by his Moroccan ex-husband, who later committed suicide. The Moroccan, who has not been named, stabbed his 34-year-old ex on April 14th on the doorstep of his home in the village of Adra Almeria. The couple had separated 2 months ago. Socialist Secretary for Social Movement Pedro Zerolo called the killing tremendous and very sad, and pointed to the fact that same-sex couples are also subject to domestic violence.
In England, an employment panel is currently involved in a hearing in which an airline allegedly refused to hire male stewards because it would be assumed they were gay. Alexandria Proud, a cabin crew manager, is claiming she was unfairly dismissed by charter aircraft company Gamma Aviation after protesting that she could only hire attractive single women between the ages of 18 and 30, who were no larger than a size 12. She also claims that Gamma's owners would not tolerate any males being hired because it would be thought that they were gay.
And in entertainment news, at the recent White Party in Palm Springs, California, performer Lady Gaga opened up about her hit single Poker Face. Gaga said that the song is about being with a man but fantasizing about a woman, so a man must read her poker face.
For the third consecutive year, Justin Richardson and Peter Parnell's award-winning book, And Tango Makes Three, a children's story about two male penguins caring for an orphaned egg, leads the American Library Association's top 10 list of the most frequently challenged books of 2008. Other books incorporating gay themes that made the list include Stephen Chbosky's The Perks of Being a Wallflower and Sarah S. Brannon's Uncle Bobby's Wedding.
Actress Michelle Rodriguez from Fast and Furious and TV's Lost has dismissed ongoing reports that she is a lesbian, saying she likes men who love their mothers. Rodriguez was once linked to movie star Kristanna Loken, who married Noah Danby in 2008, but said she's looking for a real man.
Men who love their mothers, those are gay men.
The ones that I know. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Still dominating and more fierce than ever. Beyoncé's I Am Tour. Beyoncé. Friday, July 17th at the United Center. Beyoncé. Friday, July 17th at the United Center. Don't miss your chance to see Beyoncé perform her biggest hits and songs from the new album, I Am Sasha Fierce, in stores now. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. at all Ticketmaster outlets, United Center box office, online at LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster.com, or charge by phone. Beyoncé's I Am Tour. Brought to you by Music World Entertainment and Alan Heyman Mayweather Promotion. Produced by Live Nation.
It's spring, time for flowers to bloom and lovers to love and the Joffrey Ballet to dance. See the Joffrey Ballet spectacular spring program filled with romantic stories of young lovers, angels in a starry sky, and a wedding, all told in glorious dance, featuring Christopher Wheeldon's Carousel, set to music from the Broadway classic. Just 9 performances, April 29th through May 10th. Call 312-902-1500 or order online at Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Richard Nicini with another Night at the Movies Minute. The beautiful people that populate Bret Easton Ellis' novels and the movies made from them, Less Than Zero, American Psycho, The Rules of Attraction, and now The Informers, are some of the most vapid, immoral, hedonistic, narcissistic, and sick-at-the-soul folks one would ever hope to encounter. Bored, icy, sexually ambiguous, physically gorgeous, yet emotionally detached, Ellis' people rarely have any redeeming qualities. But I love them. And the somnambulant bunch that populate The Informers, the latest Ellis novel to hit the screen, his most venal yet, are just about my favorites. Christian Bale as a serial killer in American Psycho is still unbeatable, however. The movie is set in Los Angeles 1983, and the soundtrack, costumes, and hair alone are worth the price of admission. It follows a group of wealthy, disparate characters, those in the highest rungs of the ladder, Billy Bob Thornton, Kim Basinger, Winona Ryder, yes, Winona, Chris Isaac, and a rat pack's worth of new Hollywood trash. To those scrambling down far below on the ladder, Brad Renfro in his last role, and Mickey Rourke. All in a revolving series of stories a la Shortcuts. You can't make it in this town unless you're willing to do some awful things. And I'm willing. Renfro, as an anxiety-stricken doorman, tells one of his impossibly gorgeous tenants, the bisexual Graham, played by John Foster, who is son of a studio executive, played by Thornton. That's more or less the message in the plot of this stylish, glacial film, and it helps explain why these rotten folks who can't enjoy all that they've been given are such fun to watch. They're so awful that their audacious selfishness becomes funny. So screwed up in spite of all their wealth, the audience gets to feel superior. Isn't that fun? And let's not forget the voyeuristic pleasures to be had in gazing upon such a spectacular group of beauties from afar. Though the characters tryst in many different sexual variations and with multiple partners, pleasure proves to be elusive. And with the appearance of AIDS, the movie turns into a daisy chain of death, which the film's ending emphasizes. By that point, a crack has formed in the ceiling of the Pleasure Dome, and in its conclusion, The Informers takes on the air of ancient, decadent Rome just before the fall. It's a chilling end to a chilling, brutal film that is a lot more than the sum of its one-dimensional parts would suggest. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute. Didn't I sound oh so smart this time?
Chance to see the mega hit Broadway musical Legally Blonde right here.
Oh my god, you guys. Looks like Elle's gonna win the prize.
Take the journey with Elle Woods at the show New York Magazine calls a feel-good song and dance juggernaut. Legally Blonde.
Begins May 12th for 4 weeks only at the Ford Center Oriental Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 20th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Remy Bumbo Theater Company presents Harold Pinter's mysterious masterpiece, Old Times, starring Nick Sands, Linda Gillum, and Jenny McKnight. Enter into a daring game of competing memories where everything is at risk. Old Times runs now through May 31st at the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, visit remybumbo.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet, now extended at the Apollo Theater. Don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
American Theater Company, in association with About Face Theater, presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, an award-winning rock musical about a young East German who gives up a little part of himself in order to escape communism for freedom in the U.S. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is playing now through May 17th at American Theater Company. Tickets at atcweb.org. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
With spring, we generally get a lot of new music, and the Old Town School of Folk Music here in Chicago has a series called First Fridays, Voices of the People. And on May 1st, the theme will be queer music, artists who have challenged straight status quo in the music business. And queer singer-songwriter Andrea Bunch is here from the Old Town School to talk with me, and let's explore some of the these artists, and who do we think they are, these artists who have challenged, and also to give us some information about Alt Q, the upcoming concert that's every year. It kind of seems to kick off the Pride season to me right before Memorial Day on May 9th. Alt Q will be heating up the stage there at the Old Town School. So, hey, Andrea, how are you?
Hi, Amy. I'm good.
It's really good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you since, you haven't been on since the Congress of Starlings Albedo CD.
I think so. I think it's been that long. It's good to talk to you, too.
You as well. This is really exciting. Now, do you help put these First Fridays together?
Yeah. First Friday at the Old Town School of Folk Music is a big celebration that starts around 6:30. And my event, Voice of the People, is one of the events that's going on. There's all kinds of performances and dance events and jams and songwriter circles. It's just a big party that the school opens itself up for. And Voice of the People is one of the things going on.
Well, it sounds really amazing. So, queer music. I love that Old Town always seems to really embrace GLBT singer-songwriters and artists just as much as every other group. So, a diverse array of folk artists. Who, when you say artists who have challenged the straight status quo, what do you mean by that more specifically? Do you mean in terms of their musicality, by their theatricality, challenging gender types?
Yes, I think all of that. The Voice of the People is an event where every month we explore a different topic of political, socially relevant music.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do with it is I invite some folks to come, and for instance, this one, Scott Free is going to come, Greg Shapiro may come, some of the folks performing at Alt Q may come, and tell us who was influential to them in their life, you know, growing up, listening to music. Maybe there were a few songs, a few musicians that sort of gave them some permission to be who they wanted to be and explore life the way they wanted to explore life.
Yeah.
And I certainly have some of my own.
Tell me who some of yours are.
Well, let's see. Certainly thank God for the Indigo Girls, right?
Yeah.
So many people, because they were so famous, it allowed a lot of people to see them as a role model and go, oh, maybe this is cool, maybe it's okay. And I know for myself, I always thought, I think I might kind of like girls, but I don't see any girls around here exactly like what I think I might like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in boarding school at a performing arts high school, the Indigo Girls came to play, and I saw Amy Ray, and I was like, now that's the kind of girl I think I'm talking about. So So when I was 16 or 17, I was like, ah, now I get it. And, you know, so they helped me define myself and open myself up in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely enough, this is really strange, I think, but before that, Prince, although, I don't know why, I think one of the reasons is he's just very pro-sex.
Mm-hmm.
And his song, Darling Nikki, I was like hearing that at a pretty young age and going, I don't know if I want to fuck her or be her, but mm-hmm. one of those.
Yeah.
So him, and then later on listening to Ani DiFranco.
Right.
And her, you know, talking out about being bisexual or pansexual. And on down the road, you know, bands like Tribe 8 and things just helped free me in terms of gender stereotypes and sexuality. And once I moved to Chicago, a lot of Chicago artists were very influential and empowering for me. Like when I met Erin Tedesco and I saw her play,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, this is incredible. She's just amazing and makes me feel even more free, even mm-hmm. more like I can make choices that I want. People mm-hmm. like Scott Free, who puts on Alt Q,
mm-hmm.
And just the whole community of queer artists in Chicago. There were events that I could go to and fit in somewhere, and that was really wonderful. And so music was a big part of changing my own politics and my own social environment and how I felt about how I was living.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because my partner and I were having lunch before I called you for the interview, and I... You know, she said, you know, who are you interviewing? And I said, I'm actually doing an interview about queer music and artists who have challenged the straight status quo. And so we got into a huge conversation about it, you know, and it's
uh-huh.
it's really interesting how evocative the question is based on whatever your love of music was.
Yeah. What styles and things?
Exactly. Because, you know, as we started talking, of course, I immediately think of artists who maybe aren't even gay. Like I think of David Bowie. And I think of Cher. And I think, you know, I definitely mentioned the Indigo Girls as well, but I think of Sylvester and I think of Freddie Mercury. He's obviously was gay, but, you know, or any, even somebody like Michelle Ndege Ocello, you know, this kind of fierce African-American woman who kind of fronted with the all-American farm boy, you know, John Cougar, you know, which was a pretty big video. I mean, she definitely has a solo career, but that I think shot her into the mainstream. And, you know, I was just talking about some of those artists. And of course, my partner said, well, you know, it's interesting when you say like Cher and even Freddie Mercury, I guess, and David Bowie, you know, she was a huge rocker chick. So she said, mm-hmm. you know, I guess in a weird way, I even see bands like Kiss and Motley Crue and kind of these glam rock bands as somehow challenging gender.
Like Twisted Sister, they look just like women, you know?
Exactly. Like, it was interesting that in that time of the visual music scene, when the video world, you know, was shot through, and Twisted Sister is perfect. That's actually a perfect example, you know, of like the Duran Durans of the world, you know, kind of mm-hmm. Flock of Seagulls, the British movement that was happening. And then, you know, we had kind of this rock movement of, you know, Kiss and Sister Christian and, you know, all these things slamming up against, and then kind of bursting forth was like Boy George, you know,
right.
Which
yeah.
we didn't even really talk about, you know, back then that like he was a quote unquote queer artist. I don't think anybody thought that he wasn't. It's just.
Right. That's right. But it wasn't like its own genre. It wasn't big enough yet.
Right. And so it's really interesting, you know, what comes forth, because I'm sure a generation before you and I, you know, you might hear people say Helen Reddy or Joan Baez or, mm-hmm. You know, going more into a or even Elton John. I mean, of course, of the yeah. decade before we really had that kind of MTV era. Do you think that that's really the expression of the artist beyond just the music and the chords, the music and the words, but actually the embodiment has really propelled the movement forward?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that what's important about the mainstream media, especially since it reaches so many people, is that the ideas that are put forth on television and on the radio and on MTV and things like that, people tend to think in those terms, right? Like, the world is set up for them. Here's the news. This is the truth. Here's another show. Here's what's funny. Here's what you should think about. And the images we see or don't see in the media have a lot to do with who we'll vote for,
right.
Who, you know, what things we think are important, what things we should give our attention to. And so having artists like Elton John and like Sharon, like all the people that we mention, it plants a seed in everyone's head. And whether people decide that they're gay or bi or pansexual or totally straight, I think just seeing the images helps us all go, okay, that's a normal, another option that's valid. I'm going to let that be in my world, in my reality, in my head, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, because my earliest, the first time I ever saw Katie Lang perform, being a girl raised in Tennessee, I saw her on something that was like the Grand Ole Opry or something, and it was Katie's I'm Wearing a Skirt and Some Cowboy Boots era with the kerchief and, you know, but the same kind of hair, the same kind of boyish hair and no makeup. And, you know, it was interesting as well to see somebody in an expression that didn't seem, that seemed in contrast to who they were. And I think it could have only happened in that moment in which she was being born as an artist. And,
like
you know,
before
that
she had the strength to sort of say, here's who I am.
Well, I think it was just, you know, I think it was just the dichotomy of, you know, trying to be a part of that Nashville scene, trying to feel and figure out where she went. The voice was so sophisticated and so extraordinary, you know, and still is to this day. But but in that arena, the visual, the necessity for, you know, what you look like didn't fit. I mean, it just didn't fit. And thank God she was able to have Ingenue kind of cross her over into another arena and so many amazing, talented artists even back then.
Not being an Ingenue at all.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, I think in a lot of arenas, music is really important in changing people's minds and opening our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And Queer Voices is one of them. So I was hoping to celebrate that and get some of the artists that are going to perform at the school the following week to come and speak with us. I know Aaron, my partner, is super excited to see Jeff High School, who used to be the lead singer of the Judy Bats.
Yeah, I know Jeff. Jeff's coming in for Alt Q.
Yes, yes.
I got to get him on the show because he has got his new CD, Clip On Nose Ring.
Yes. And he sings a song in the Judy Bats that all through Aaron's growing up is called Native Son.
Mm-hmm.
And she always tells me about how this song, I don't even know the whole song, but she mentions these lyrics over and over about sort of searching for that lost inner son, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for women who are looking for balance, like, what is my male part? What is my female part? For all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That tune resonates with her so much. She still listens to it all the time. So Jeff is going to be in town for it, which will be wonderful to see. And Tread Fear, another person who I'm really excited to see again. We've played with her before. And again, she's someone who I looked at like when I went to the Michigan Women's Music Festival and other music fests. And when I was first coming out and first realizing, oh, I could be different than the Iowa, you know, feminine women are supposed to be. Women like her, I was like, there's an example. That's beautiful. I understand that. I'm going there.
Do you think that artists, I mean, neither one of us have mentioned Melissa Etheridge, but of course, Melissa Etheridge will definitely be there for, you know, many people and was, you know, really, I think, hitting a huge stride when I was coming out in the early 90s. But, you know, there was kind of a pronoun neutral way in which Melissa really finessed singing, you know, an angsty love song. And I'm wondering today if we see as much of that from queer artists or if we truly see them, you know, laying it all out, who they're singing about, what they're singing about. And who do you think, I mean, what do you think of that?
It's a good question. I have a couple thoughts. For one, like an artist like Melissa Etheridge is so useful, I think, to the queer community that she came out, because so many straight people listen to her.
Yep.
So many people will give Queer World another chance because they liked her for years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, maybe they would just shut down and not listen to her at all, but I bet there's a lot of folks who went, huh, maybe it's not so bad. People who don't live in cities or whatever.
Right.
And is it more, I think in some circles of music, and I'm not actually the biggest mainstream music listener, so I'm maybe not the best person to ask, but I did hear that in Pink's most recent video, she actually makes out with herself.
She does. It's quite hot. You should YouTube that. Maybe we'll put that up on our blog.
So that's taken it even a step further.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. The pronoun is myself, and I am having sex with myself. The ultimate in narcissism, which is rock and roll. So, you know, there you go. You got to love it.
Way beyond gay.
Exactly. Way beyond gay. But then, you know, we have new artists, and you say you don't listen. But, you know, Lady Gaga, who appeared last year at our Windy City Gay Idol and has shot to superstardom now, new dance artist, you know, pulls definitely from Bowie and other icons of days gone by. Definitely the gay community, you know, grabbing onto her and what she's about. Dance music obviously being always a place that our community, and especially the men's community, really, you know, embrace music that I would say is kind of a queer music aesthetic.
Even back, you know, like in the early 200s and late 90s, the Lords of Acid, she was singing feminine pronouns with people she was singing about having sex with, and male pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dance music world is definitely, you know, very open, very flexible in that way.
Yeah. And then I think some of that independent alt scene, too, you know, Peaches, I think a lot of people would say, is somebody who very much kind of shattered a lot of ideas about music as well. So it's going to be a really lively conversation, as you can see. Like, this is just with Andrea and I in on it. And you can definitely let your voices, you know, lend to this May 1st event at the Old Town School.
You should know, too, that at the event, we're going to actually teach how to play these songs. So if you bring a shaker or you bring a guitar or you just sing or you just sit and listen, it's an active event. So we're going to participate. Some of the artists will play their music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to teach a bunch of songs as well by queer artists and facilitate some discussion. So we get to play, too.
Yeah, good. I think you should ask everybody, like, what music video were you watching where you had the first little moment of, like, that makes me feel funny? And
oh,
for
that's
me,
great.
That's the question. Like, that's the makes me feel funny moment. And for me, it was Annie Lennox and Sweet Dreams.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous, of course.
Of course.
That the one where she has the real short red hair?
Yeah, and she's in the suit. And I had seen her do something where she dressed up very male at a... strangely enough, I think it was on a show like Solid Gold, or maybe it wasn't Solid Gold. What's one of those other Saturday morning afternoon shows that would come on where, like, I saw Blondie do Rapture and
okay.
It was Dick Clark or American Bandstand or something. But she came on dressed almost as Elvis. I mean, in such good drag that, like, it was entirely convincing. And I thought, this woman excites me. And also, I don't understand her. And at the same time, like, I love her. I mean, it was so complex. I didn't know what to do with how I felt, you know, as a young pre-gay watching
yes,
this.
Yes, oh, she's a fabulous example. And there you go, right there. Like, yeah. If you hadn't had that example... where would you be? I mean, where would you have gotten it, you know?
I don't know. Plus the pipes, you know, it always helps when there are amazing artists, you know, on top of that. Well, you've mentioned that Trett Furrer and Jeff High School are coming to Alt Q. Anybody else in the roster that you can tease us with?
Yes. Edie Carey is going to perform.
Great.
And our local band Sweet Hello will be there playing.
Oh, good.
Greg Shapiro, who writes a whole bunch of entertainment journalist publications, he's going to be reading.
Good.
And then another Chicago indie rock band, Stella and the Heartbirds, are going to perform. And Scott Free, who puts the whole thing together, he's going to open the night up.
Well, he's such a good guy. I love his tireless efforts. They always are such a great gift to the community. So
yeah.
Alt Q is on May 9th. You don't want to miss it. It's at the Old Town School. If you don't live in Chicago, then what I hope is that this conversation evokes you to kind of think of, you know, who would you put in this category? Who are the artists that you either identified as queer or you related to or made you have that funny feeling. I mean, any of that that was happening, that challenging and provocative way that music seems to transform and really get inside of us and change us. Tell me, Andrea, is the event on May 1st? Is that a free event? How do people get information and tickets for that event and Alt-Q?
For the Voice of the People event on May 1st, you would just come to the Old Town School, which is 4544 North Lincoln Avenue on the north side of Chicago. It's Lincoln and Wilson. And it's a $5 suggested donation, so you pay what you can. And we meet at 6:30 in the building. And that's it for that one. If you want to go to buy tickets for Alt-Q, which is on May 9th, you can go to the website altqfestival.com. That's A-L-T, the letter Q, festival.com.
Great. And we'll have that linked on our show notes on our site. Andrea Bunch at the Old Town School, thanks a lot. This has been a great conversation.
You're welcome. Thank you, Amy.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
Everything is sexual to me. There cannot be. I can't say. No
this
one can say anything.
Everything's sexual to me.
I'm telling you that. Yeah, push an envelope, and I'm like, yeah. It's like duty. He said duty. That's what I'm like. I like that all the time.
And this is why you belong with Mitchell Fain. He's floating around Brazil right now.
Yeah, he's floating around Brazil. Where am I? Here in this bar. That's what I'm saying. Mitchell, come back.
Mitchell. Come back to the 5 minutes.
Mitchell, I need you.
Hey,
I want
and everybody,
you.
If you're Twittering, you can follow me. I'm just on Amy Matheny, so it's really easy. Twitter.com/Amy Matheny.
If you're Twittering, you can't follow me.
You cannot follow. But I will tell you what Steven's doing because I'm with him so much. So
oh
you kind
God.
Of are following him.
Oh, no.
Please follow me. I will promise you some good stuff.
I will follow her.
I promise you good stuff.
Follow her wherever she
Maybe. Are you going to Ravinia speaking of music?
You know, I really want to. I don't. There's someone performing that. Oh, Tom Jones is coming to Ravinia. Tom fucking Jones.
Tom fucking Jones.
I am there. As long as he's, if he's going to sing Thunderball, I'm in.
Yeah.
If he's not going to sing Thunderball. I mean, if he's not singing Thunderball, I'm not there. I'm a Bond fan. You have to sing Thunderball.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Shirley Bassey if she's not going to sing Goldfinger. I don't want to see Tom Jones.
Yeah, I saw Etta James, and she sang at last, and she was writhing all over the stool, and it made me very uncomfortable, her new skinny body. But, you know, sometimes you just want to hear them sing their song.
Yeah, and Etta, come on. Get off this whole Beyonce singing at the inaugural thing.
Yeah,
stop it. Just
go.
Stop it, Etta.
There you go. Hey, I'm going to see Patty Griffin, Emily Harris, and Sean Colvin on June 7th with our editor, Di, for her birthday at Ravinia. That's her favorite singer is Patty Griffin. Trying to get Patty on the Queercast. We'll see if that happens.
Emmy Lou Harris
is awesome, too. I saw her when she was here for the Wrecking Ball album at the Barclays, which was great. Both, all three of them are genius. I've seen Sean Colvin more than any of the others, but I love Patty Griffin and Emmy Lou, so I'm very
excited. Are they together in some trio or something?
It's three of them and a guy. It's going to be a great show. And but if we find out that we're getting the Patty Griffin interview, see, that's when I could Twitter. I could say, I landed
it. Then I could Twitter.
So follow me, and then you'll know. Like,
I will follow her. I'm telling you. You should have this be your thing, yes.
Yeah, the second it happens, I'm telling you. Well, you know, the good news is I do work for a news magazine, so if we get the breaking news, it's going out on my Twitter. Like, immediately. I don't have to wait until I'm recording again or wait until...
Oh, my God, yes.
It's like instantaneously. And I do have to say, I'm super, super, super proud of the news media outlets of covering the story of Carl Walker Hoover, the young 11-year-old boy who killed himself because of the bullying. I was so proud this past weekend to watch Anderson Cooper do a story with the mother on about it, and Mel White, watching Charlie Gibson on ABC News on the Friday Night News
last
weekend.
Was it about the bullying, or was it about what happened that he got the 5 days suspension?
Well, no, well, definitely Anderson Cooper was really about what is it that makes language so powerful, and what is our schools not doing that if he had been called the N-word or any racial epithet, how would the school have treated it differently? Now, the school was 85% black, so that would have never, they would have never stood for that if a white kid or a Hispanic kid had said something. But just to show the power of language and bullying, and you know, we observed a day of silence last week, and I put the story on my Twitter. It's why it reminded me of it. And I was really happy. You know, Kelly and I were talking, and she said, well, and I said, this is so amazing they're doing this. And she goes, well, yeah, but they do this all the time. And I said, no, they don't. Kids commit suicide all the time that are gay. They don't get news coverage. And it's something that's starting to change because GLSEN and these other gay organizations are going, you know what? They're killing themselves because people think they're gay, or they are gay, and they know it, or whatever. It doesn't matter, because his mom kept saying, he wasn't gay. Who knows if he was or wasn't? He was 11 years old. He was not sexual yet, you know? But I don't think he was probably sexual yet, even if he was struggling with the identity. But, you know, the point of it is that, you know, the power of words are powerful. And,
See, I always get back to this. It's made me a little... We jumped the gun on... Okay, so they called him a name. They called me names. They called you names. I'm still called names. Philip and I were walking down the street going to see the midnight performance of, or showing of, The Watchmen.
Uh-huh.
Called Facts. Of course, Philip turns around and wants to fight them because he has kung fu and I have nothing. So I was like, let's go. You know, but...
He
does. And don't fuck with this. You see this skinny boy that looks really great? Don't fuck with him because he'll fucking put your nose through your head.
Good.
But I don't get it. I don't get that if we start saying you can't say these words, you can't say faggot, you can't say cocksucker, you can't say bulldog, because it offends me, where do we stop and what does that say? It's giving this word so much power, and we're doing it. We're allowing that word to have all of this power when it really is a fun, great word, and it is exactly what I feel like I am. I know a lot of people disagree with me, but fag only hurts me if I let it hurt me.
Yeah. When you're 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you're young and you don't have any filter.
I literally went through high school and middle school with exactly what was going on, with a mother saying, why is this happening to you? And I would go, but it's happening every day. I can't walk down certain halls. I can't see certain people. And that can't, it's just not going to change. I don't think it will change. And how do I can't stop their behavior.
They have stopped it. In schools, they do stop behavior that is racist or worked on sexism. I mean, let's talk about the sexism of the 1950s and 60s and the sexism today is different.
You're right.
And so somehow we are the last minority to make a claim.
And everything is called gay anyway. You're right. And I see that. I really do. And I don't disagree with it. I just wonder, where do we go with this? Where does it, when you start saying that words are bad, then what makes fuck a bad word?
Right.
If fuck is a bad word, we can't say fuck, we can't really say shit or damn.
But we should say it at 10, 11, and 12 in elementary school and junior high. Yeah. I don't.
But then again, I knew all of those words when I was that age.
I didn't use them.
I called someone a fat when I was in fourth grade because I did do that.
I knew somebody that I called that to once, and it still haunts me.
No.
It still haunts me in my head that I did that. But
knowing what language is, when to use it and when not to use it, I think is different. And
yeah.
It's a very confusing issue for me.
But
it's
definitely a conversation to be having, and what I'm proud of is that the major news outlets are having it.
I think what really was the button that pushed for him was the administration, after this girl pushed him and they had some altercation, giving him 5-day suspension. That's what I think. Now, I wasn't there, neither were any of us.
Yeah.
But to put the onus on a word,
right,
scares me a lot.
I don't know that it was on a word ever. I think it was just on the fact that, you know, constantly not feeling like he was going to be able to get away from the taunting.
I didn't either. I remember sitting down with my father and having him say, my senior year, first day of senior year, we had a drink, because my father's an alcoholic. Hello, Dad. and we had a drink at a really nice restaurant, and he raised his glass, and he said, here's the best year of your life. And I put the glass down, and I said, hand me the fucking razor blade, because if this is the best, I have to get out.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He had no idea what was going on. No clue.
Yeah. It's not the best year of your life.
Oh, hello.
Every year coming.
That's coming up.
Yes, exactly. And so is our next show. I'm off to Tennessee. I will Twitter from Tennessee. Twittering in Tennessee. Please come follow me.
I'll TNT.
We'll have it some sweet tea.
Yeehaw.
So come follow me at twitter.com/AmyMuthini. And you don't even have to Twitter to follow me.
You have to do fluttering and Twittering, though.
I'm kidding. But if you go to twitter.com/AmyMuthini, you'll be able to follow me. Whether you want to join Twitter or not, you can just be a voyeur and see what I'm doing and what I'm thinking. Morning, noon, and night.
Stalk Amy. Everyone stalk Amy.
That would be fun. Have a great one.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.